Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, indeed. Welcoming your phone calls and text messages. And, you know, we tend to get busy. So if you have a lawn or garden question, now's your chance. Call it in or text it in. Phone number 651-989-9226. And the text number, as that guy just said, is 81807. Julie Weisenhorn is back with us.
You hear that text number
promised.
In your sleep.
It's true. Although one day, a few years ago, I think I mentioned this to you, I was giving the information text and the phone number, and I started giving my home number. I didn't finish, fortunately. But those are the numbers. You know, you've called them before. But you brought Professor John Trappi back with you.
I did.
So we have a turf expert here besides all the – well, Julie's a turf expert, too.
Oh,
He's our turf expert.
I don't get that credit.
So if you have a lawn or garden, I mean lawn or garden, today's your chance.
And garden.
Yes. Yeah, do both. 651-989-9226. By the way, this show every week is brought to us by those good folks down in Jordan, Minnesota, make the best patio furniture in the whole world. It's called By the Yard. We'll talk about that.
Thank you for your sponsorship.
Yes, we appreciate that. Also a family-run business of good taste.
Yeah,
good
and
taste.
Local folks.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I know we're going to get questions, Julie and John, about in fact, I just saw one earlier that came in late last night for some reason. Can I still fertilize my lawn?
Yeah, I would avoid fertilizing your lawn right now. I think plant uptake of the nutrients is going to be very slow, if anything at all. So you'd be better off just waiting until the spring.
What is, you know, and you see the products in the stores called winter fertilizer. Is there a difference between something you could put in the spring and then what's the deal with that?
Typically, the old school thought with that was to apply a little bit more potassium in the fall. Try to put the grass to sleep was the thinking, is that because potassium helps with plant stress. And typically, those winterizers have more potassium. They also have a little bit more urea fertilizer, which is for faster uptake of the nitrogen. But quite frankly, there isn't really that big of a difference between a winterizer and a normal fertilizer.
It's marketing, probably.
It could be a springerizer, a summerizer, and a winterizer.
Okay, very good.
Fallerizer.
All right. By the way, if you want to send a text, 81807, I overseeded my lawn this fall, texter says. Should I avoid putting a pre-emergent down in the spring?
Yes, I would certainly avoid putting down a pre-emergent herbicide, because that would inhibit the seeds that you did seed this fall from germinating and emerging themselves.
All right. Very good. Makes sense. Let's go back to the phones. Gene in Kenyon is first up here. Gene, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. I have an apple tree. I did not plant this apple tree. We've lived here for 46 years.
All right.
And this thing was growing there about less than 10 feet from a great big soft maple tree.
Okay.
Nobody would plant an apple tree there. And for quite a while, I thought it was a wild plum tree, because we had a lot of them out in the woods.
Okay.
But it grew. Nothing ever happened. Never saw any fruit or anything. And all of a sudden, in 2004, shortly after my husband passed away, I looked out, saw kind of a red, little bit of red around the back of this soft maple tree. And I thought later on the day I went out on my mobility scooter, and lo and behold, I had 14 apples.
Whoa!
How about that? Well, I tell you what, Jean.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that I know.
Wait, talk about that's patience. That, you know, really, that's an investment into a plant. Well, it could be that somebody nearby planted a crab apple or another apple tree, and you just happened to be getting some cross-pollination. Maybe that wasn't the case prior to that. Or maybe your husband had something to do with it.
Yeah, that could be. Interesting story, Gene.
That's
thank
great.
You.
Great story.
Texter wants to know what happened to my autumn blaze maple trees this year. They started out changing, then all of a sudden the leaves just all turned brown, no color.
So autumn blaze maple that started changing and then turned brown and no color, and
yeah.
It looks like it changed early in the season?
Sounds like it.
That would be stress. That would be stress-related. And that's a case with maples a lot of times. Maples like to grow in very pretty rich, organic, moist, cool soil, a little bit acidic. And we plant them in our urban environments, and it's clay and heavy, and it's hot, and we plant grass underneath them. No offense, John. And the problem is it stresses them out. And when you start to see a maple that changes early in the season or like in the summer, you'll start to see color in the, July or August, and the leaves start to dry. It's a tree that's under stress, and it's affected by a number of different things at that point. But that's probably the case in this issue.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Donna is calling from Northfield. Donna, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
I'm wondering if it's okay to cut our peonies down. We put leaves over the flower bed.
Okay.
Can I cut those down now, or should I wait till spring?
Well, if they're still really nice dark green, you could take the approach that they're still photosynthesizing. But I'll tell you what, after we get to these 30 and 32 degree weather, yeah, you can go ahead and cut them down because they're going to fall down at that point. So, yes, you can cut them down.
Okay, very good. Norma is calling from St. James with a question. Norma, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do
for
you?
I have Honeycrisp apple trees.
Okay.
They're young trees, but they produce.
Great.
But they end up with nubbins, deformed apples.
Oh, sure.
And I am told possibly because there is a big cedar evergreen nearby. Could that be the problem?
No. Cedars are hosts for cedar apple rust, and that displays itself on leaves as little orange rusty colored spots. So that's a different issue. That's not going to cause any issues with your apples. The apples sound to me like you have apple maggots. Mm-hmm. Apple maggots are a fly. The adult fly lays its eggs in the young apples, and larvae hatches, that egg hatches, and a larvae will tunnel through the apples and create this bumpy apple. We have an excellent publication on our extension site about it that will give you some options for management of apple maggots. Very common. And you can find that on our extension site at extension.umn.edu. And go to Yard and Garden, go to the fruit section. And there's a section on pest management in apples. There's also some other excellent apple information, including some videos on pruning apple trees. So those of you listening, in addition to our caller who have apple trees, winter's the time to prune. And Annie Claude, our extension fruit and vegetable educator, did 3 videos on pruning last year, and they're really, really helpful. She did it with Dave Bedford, who's one of our apple breeders. So take a look at those. But if you have those bumpy apples, you have apple maggots, and you're going to want to look at that publication.
By the way, if you're just joining us, John Trappi's back with us, our turf expert.
Woo-hoo!
If you have a lawn question, now is your chance.
Of
speaking of which, Texter says this, John, is there anything I should do to prepare my lawn for winter if you have large dogs?
That's a good question. I think if you have large dogs, I would just do exactly what you did all the rest of the year. There's not much else that you can do other than maybe avoid, kind of change where they're going to the bathroom, throughout the winter. You can probably try to do that. But otherwise, I wouldn't do much else.
How much you guys have mentioned from time to time if there's a way to teach the dog to do on mulch
or something. Yeah, if you can train your dogs to do that, that's a good practice.
Yeah.
But, you know, there isn't really much to do about dog spots, is there? There's a lot of research about that.
Yeah, there's been several efforts about trying to limit the burn that comes from their urine, but quite honestly,
special food
other than training them, that's about it.
Yeah. I have, Texture says, several tree stumps. How do I keep them from sprouting?
Well, you can grind them out. That would be a good start. Tree stumps are difficult because a lot goes on underground, and you're not privy to that. Mushrooms will pop up where trees are, where roots are breaking down. But if they're sprouting, I'd grind them down. That'd be the first thing that I would do. But if not, certainly treating them with, cutting it and then treating them with some kind of a brush killer would be another option too.
All right. I know we have to break here, but before we do, you and I mentioned, Julie, that there's going to be a benefit, another benefit, another year has gone by. Tell us about that, because you and your group are going to be playing.
So the Abiders will be the band at, we have a great event called the West Tonka Brewery, Tonka Brew Fest. And it features about 20 breweries and cideries from around Minnesota. It's out at Gale Woods Farm on November 3rd in Minnetrista. And the money that's raised goes to our Mound West Tonka Rotary. They do amazing things in communities, not only just in the West Tonka community, but also beyond. And this is the sixth year they've held this event. It sells out, so you want to get your tickets. You can just go to tonkabrewfest.org. And then we're also having a benefit for our dear friend and bass and banjo player, Gary Kobus. Gary is a Wright County Master Gardener. He's a beekeeper. He grows amazing peppers, and he's a darn good musician, nice guy to boot. And that is going to be on November 18th in Delano. And I've got information about that posted on my Facebook page, so you can just find me on Facebook.
Good. Sounds like it. And you get a chance to hear the Abiders.
Yeah, and we'll be playing at both of those.
All right, good.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
By the way, yeah, all right. Thanks, Julie. Hang on, we're going to be having more Lawn and Garden Talk as we move through this hour here. So if you have a question, call it in or text it in and to Julie and John this morning. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, Lawn and Garden Talk this morning. In studio with us is Julie Weisenhorn, if you're just joining us.
Good morning.
And also John Trappi, who is our turf expert this morning.
Turf dude.
with us once again. So if you do have a lawn question, by all means, send it to us either by phone or by text. We have, as you noticed, Julie, a bunch of questions about hydrangeas.
Yeah.
There's one, should I cut back my hydrangea tree? What are some of the other questions they want to know?
So a hydrangea, right now, pruning shrubs, what happens is that when you make a cut on a shrub, we're trying to get our shrubs to go into dormancy, right? Then we need to make them last through the winter and survive. So we don't really want to monkey with them a whole lot right now. And that includes pruning. When you prune a plant, it forces the plant to put out new growth. And if we do get like a period of pretty warm weather, we may possibly get some new growth that won't harden off in time for winter and will ultimately be killed by winter. And so right now, just refrain from pruning your shrubs. And so that includes both hydrangea trees. You want to just wait on that. And then also with your hydrangeas, the shrub form. And just enjoy the winter interest that they provide. They have flower heads, those brown kind of tannish flower heads are on them. Some of them are still a little bit rosy colored. Just enjoy those through the winter. We have very little plants that offer a whole lot of, you know, substantial interest in the landscape. And so hydrangeas are one of those plants that's just terrific for winter interest. So I would just wait in the spring when you start to see the buds get larger, the leaf buds. Then you want to go ahead and prune that plant back to a size that, is manageable, to a size that to get the form nice and rounded or a nice form that you like. That's the time to do it. And some people have asked about the endless summer, what to do about that they had trouble with the blooms. There's good information. Actually, I'm going to refer you to the Bailey Nursery's website about endless summer. They are the premier. That's one of their premier brands. It's one of the largest brands. I just heard this the other day from Ryan McInerney, who's one of the owners, that's one of the endless summer brand is one of the largest brands of hydrangeas in the world, maybe the largest. And so go ahead and go to their website, and they are the experts on that, I have to say. But you don't really have to do anything special to protect your hydrangeas in the winter. You could pile some leaves around it just to kind of keep that crown protected. But it's really not, it's a pretty tough plant, okay. Our hydrangeas.
John, there's a text that says, should I overseed? I'm not sure before I plug it. I'm not sure what that means. But the question is bluegrass a good choice for overseeding in southern Minnesota?
So Kentucky bluegrass is a very well adapted grass for southern Minnesota, and overseeding it, if you wanted to increase the coverage of the lawn or increase the quality of the lawn, overseeding would certainly be a doing that.
Okay. Texter says, I had brown patch disease earlier this fall, and I applied something that was recommended by a garden store. It stopped the progression, but the spots remained. Will they still be there in the spring, or will the normal grass come back without doing anything further?
So I would there's two things that would make me question whether or not it would come back. One would be, which lawn species do you have? If it's Kentucky bluegrass, it's probably going to spread in by the rhizomes. And the other question is well, how big are the patches? If they're more than a foot or so in diameter, then maybe you should be thinking about reseeding those areas. But one other comment that I could make about this brown patch is that it's a soil-borne pathogen. So it's in your soil. It's always going to be there. So just, keep your expectations tame there and just know that you may be getting it again in the future.
Had one of my colleagues this last week asked me in the hallway, how often should you aerate your lawn here in this neck of the woods?
How often? So aeration, what aeration really helps with is soil compaction. And if you have more traffic on the lawn, I would consider, say, if you're a small, young family and you have a lot of kids playing the lawn, then I would be aerating every year. But if it's, if your lawn doesn't receive very much traffic, then you could stretch that out to every 2 or 3 or 4 okay. years even.
Right,
so
good.
I have a question about aeration. We have a tiny lawn. So are there different kinds of aerators that you can rent or...
Yes, there are certainly aerators that you can rent in most equipment rental places, and typically they run around $80, $100, something like that for the day. What you would want to do if you're going to aerate yourself, you want to rent a core aerator. That's where they pull plugs of the soil, and that's what you see on the soil at the end of the day. That's going to be the most effective at removing the compaction.
Great.
Julie says, don't try the golf shoe trick.
Yeah, those just, definitely
that's
do
worse.
Not work.
Okay. All right. Stand by, guys. We're going to take our break. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, brought to us by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. Good morning. If you're just joining us, Julie Wisenhorn in studio along with John Trappi. We're talking lawns and gardens.
Yes.
John is back with us today. So if you do have specifically a lawn question, this is your day. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Julie and John, we have callers. We have texters.
Awesome.
Let's put you back to work. Jerry is calling from St. Paul. Jerry, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I'm going to be doing some dormant seeding in my backyard. I've got about, maybe 300 square feet, 10 by 30 feet. And I'm just wondering two questions for you. What are my chances of success with dormant seeding? And then the second question is, should I cover the seed with straw or peat moss or some other kind of covering to protect the seed over the winter?
Jerry, dormant seeding can be very effective at trying to establish an area from seed. It can be quite effective. So I think your chances of success in that area should be pretty high. As far as covering that seed, I would question whether or not you're dormant seeding into a bare area. If it's bare soil, I would consider covering it. But if there's already existing lawn, or even if the lawn that you had there was dead and you have some kind of residue and not bare soil, then you could probably just leave it as it is. Leave the seed, and snow, rain, and things like that will work the seed down to the soil.
Mm, all right. Thank you, Jerry. Let's go to Glenwood. Arlen has been waiting there with a question. Arlen, what's your question?
Yes, I've got two plum trees and an apple tree that I planted about 15 years ago. And I got them through a catalog deal. And they have never flowered except for 1 year. One of them did flower, the plum tree. And they're in shade. And what I'm wondering, can I take a small back hole and dig them up around and replant them somewhere else where they would possibly... I've got two apple trees somewhere else where they do flower.
Yeah. Yes, you can. I think you could replant them. They're 15 years old, and I think it's more of a logistics question, and you want to be sure that you're using some big equipment. You could use a tree spade. You could have them tree spaded out as well. But, yes, they're probably not blooming because they're in the shade, and that would certainly help to move them into a sunnier spot.
Okay. Thank you, Arlen. Let's see. Before we grab some text messages, Bill is calling from Blaine with a question. Bill, we're all listening.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I have a beautiful ash tree in my front yard surrounded with lava rock, and I got some plants and flowers surrounding it. And every summer, little ash trees sprout up from the ground, and they grow much, much better than any of my grass or anything. Is there any way to treat that with anything? I cut them down like 4 or 5 times a summer.
Yeah, so if they are just seedlings coming from the ash seed, you just want to mow them down or just cut them down. And once you cut off those first couple leaves, if you get on them early enough in the season when they're first leafing out, then they're not going to re-leaf out. You've taken care of those seedlings. If they are sprouting from the base of the tree, then all you need to do is just keep cutting them off at this point. There wouldn't be anything I could recommend to treat those. So just mow them if they're seedlings that are sprouting from new seed, or just trim them off of the stump or the trunk.
Texter says this. By the way, text number is 81807. I want to prune an old maple tree. It's dormant now. Can I prune it now? I've read that it's best to wait until late winter to do so.
Yeah, it's not dormant yet.
Okay.
It may have lost its leaves, but it's still moving into dormancy. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we just want to hold off on pruning woody plants until they are truly dormant. Late winter, wintertime is a great time to prune trees for the most part, because you can see what issues you have, narrow crotches and crossing branches. You can see the canopy and think about opening it up for more sunlight to reach it and more airflow to go through the canopy. You can see the form of the tree a lot easier than you can with leaves. And you're also pruning at a time when any disease or pest issues is really going to be almost zero at that point. So it's better to wait until winter to do any pruning like that.
Okay. Texter says this, is it possible to grow dwarf peach or pear trees indoors next to the west-facing windows? Will I need two of each as a pollinator?
Well, I would not recommend that. These trees need to go through cold periods, go through a winter period, and they are just not going to grow well indoors. They're not meant to grow indoors. They're plants that are meant to grow outside. And even in Minnesota, we have people who have success with growing peaches outside. And as far as having two, if you were to, you'd have to hand pollinate those plants indoors. And it's just not recommended. It's best to plant them out in the landscape where they can go through their normal cycles.
How soon after grinding out a tree stump can we plant a new tree?
Well, that's a great question. And I think it depends on how big the stump is, how much sawdust is left in the soil. That sawdust is carbon. And it is going to suck up an awful lot of nitrogen around it. So I would recommend moving 10 feet away from that site if possible, or, a little ways away from it. It's also going to whether you can even dig in the soil, because they grind the stumps out, but there's still roots that are left in there. And so I would move to a different spot, somewhere where you can actually dig a sufficiently large hole, and you're not going to have that carbon that's going to be surrounding those roots.
We had that question about dog spots earlier, and we always get, as Julie knows, John, we get suggestions, good ones, from our listeners. You can train your – here's a suggestion. You can train your dog to avoid dog spots, and I always snowblow a path in the yard for our dog. The trail will get your dog in the right direction.
Good idea.
At least that's during the winter, but when all the snow's gone, then the dog may have other ideas.
Path of least resistance.
Yeah, exactly. How do I protect my evergreens against winter burn?
Water. We can still water. Our soil is not frozen. And those evergreens, if you think about the needles, they have to hold on to those throughout the winter. And watering them very well until you can't water anymore is the best defense against winter burn. Also, planting the plants in a good location. If they're a yew or something like that, they're usually it's best recommended to, that they plant on the north side out of the sun. But the rest of them are full sun plants. But watering is the number one way to get your plants to survive through the winter.
A texter says, I had to have a new well drilled in my backyard this week. The heavy equipment left ruts and compacted the lawn where they drove. How do I get rid of the ruts and soil compaction, John?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, the aerification is one of the only ways that you can do that. Something else you could do is potentially, after attempting to aerify, would be to top dress with some topsoil and try to level out where those ruts are. But that's something that you could that you would want to take care of probably either later this fall once the ground freezes or earlier this spring.
Okay. Before we break, let's go to the phones. Paul is calling from Hudson with a question. Paul, what's your question?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a lawn that's surrounded by large pine trees. Actually, I'm in a pine woods, so I get plenty of pine pollen every spring. And I have a couple areas that have a heavy moss coming up through the grass. My question on this part is lime. I put lime down. It seems to help control it, but I'm wondering if I'm putting enough lime, and can I put lime on yet this year? The second question I have relates to fungicide. Can I still put a fungicide down to help avoid snow mold? And my final question is on bumps. I have what seems like hundreds of bumps coming out of the lawn, like almost like worms maybe made a little mound. And I don't know if there's anything for that, or should I just get a heavy roller and roll it?
What do you guys think of those questions?
So regarding the lime and the moss is going to be a continuous problem there. That's an indication of high shade. So, that's just something that you may want to consider correcting there if you'd like to try to meet the problem head on. Regarding timing of liming, you can apply lime now, because you're effectively doing that for the soil pH. I think any time is great, but I would try to time that around some kind of rainfall event. The fungicide for snow mold right now is certainly a good time to be applying the fungicide for snow mold as a preventative treatment for that. And regarding the bumps from the worms or the worm castings, that's something that if you have sometimes they make like a roller attachment for mowers that could help do that. That could help smooth out those bumps, but otherwise you could rent a roller itself and try to address those problems. But you could do that now, or you could do it in the springtime as well.
That's where those bumps kind of hard to mow.
That would be quite the problem if it is affecting mowing.
That's true. All right. We have to take a quick break. We have more show to come. Either call it in or text it in as usual. 45 is our Twin City temperature reading going for 55. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, we have callers, we have texters, we have Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi in studio. The three of us were talking about earlier about just lawn care and maybe some tips as we head into the fall and winter, John. What do you think?
So three big things of concern is the leaf litter from deciduous trees that are leaves are falling right now. So I would try to mulch if possible, but if you end up getting more than, say, 20% cover of the grass, then I would consider bagging those leaves and composting them off-site. Regarding lawn height, a lot of times we get questions this time of year about, should I be lowering the lawn height?
Yeah.
And I think you can be taking the lawn height down a little bit. That can certainly help. I would take it down somewhere around 2 to 3 inches.
Okay.
But not really any lower than that. I think you can actually do some harm there, especially if you do it too fast this time of year. The third and final thing is if you do have an in-ground irrigation system, at this point you should be blowing it out and trying to remove the water from the lines, because if you do get water freezing, that would be just more costly expensive irrigation fixes.
You're seeing that all over the place, and the spray is coming out of
And if you have rain barrels out there, I have a number of rain barrels. And so one of the things to do about that is certainly you want to be emptying those. You can drain them out into tree areas or shrubs. It's a great way to water your evergreens real quickly. And then you want to clean your rain barrels with a 10% bleach solution. You can use an unused toilet brush. That works real well because you can get your arm in there and scrub that out to eliminate any kind of algae that might have accumulated over the summer. Same with the hose that you have for watering. You want to clean that out as well.
Okay. We have some texts regarding grass seed, which we'll get to. But Daryl is calling from Lake Elmo with a question. Daryl, what is your question?
Yes, you can help my husband and I solve an ongoing debate. He's listening as he's driving, so this will be a humorous for him. We planted some arborvitae this past summer, and we're wondering how much to water. Is that the same as evergreens, or can you overwater arborvitae and drown them?
Well, that is an excellent question, and it depends on your soil. If you live in a sandy soil environment, then you would water it more often. If you have clay soil, though, like many of us in the metro area at least, then you would want to feel that soil and then water as needed. But easier than that is on our extension website under watering trees and shrubs. We have an excellent publication. We have two publications. One is on watering newly planted trees, and one is on watering existing trees. And it gives you guidelines for determining how much water your plant needs. Now, as we're going into the winter, depending on rainfall, if we don't get rain for a while and things are dry, then you definitely want to be watering those trees. And if they're large arborvitae, I don't think you can overwater them. If they're small and young, then you can just, I would just feel that soil. And as it's, the top few inches are getting dry, then you want to go ahead and water those. Remember that shrubs and trees have most of their roots in about the top 18 inches of the soil. They don't have very deep roots in a lot of cases, and those roots spread out horizontally across the soil. So watering is really important. That topsoil layer will dry out faster, of course, than the deeper soil.
Makes
I
sense.
Hope that settled the argument.
thank
yes, water.
And thank Daryl for calling in.
Yeah.
Texter says this, John, can grass seed be saved over winter to use in the spring? Love the show. Listen every week. Thank you for that. What about grass seed? How I've seen in my garage, wait a minute, how long have I had this grass
right,
seed?
Right.
How long can you save it?
Grass seed can be saved for several years, depending on the conditions that it's saved in. You want cool and dry for grass seed, really for any seed, quite frankly. But for grass seed, the germination rates or the germination percentages will just go down over time. But certainly you can save them for 1 year, and you should have very good seed in the springtime as long as they're cool and dry.
Okay. We talked about dormant seeding. Texter wants to know, when should one dormant seed? I still have leaves that will fall and need to be raked. How late can I dormant seed? When's the best time of year?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Dormant seeding should be done when the soil is frozen, where you know you're not going to get any more germination. But any time from, say, let's say middle of November, typically on a normal year, middle of November, all the way up until right after the ground thaws, that would still be considered a dormant seeding. So any time in that time frame would work.
Depending on snow.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Do not overseed snow.
Please talk about pruning raspberries, when to do, how low to cut, et cetera.
Oh, good question. So raspberries. So raspberries are pruned in the summer or in the spring. I'm sorry, in the spring. And it's kind of like what I explained with the hydrangeas. You can cut those raspberries back now. You can probably cut them back a little bit just to get them out of the way. A lot of the canes are very long. But cut them back to about 2-3 feet long. And then in the spring, as those buds start to open and start to burst, then you want to trim them back to a manageable height. Usually it's a couple of feet, I think 18 to 24 inches. And it's also an opportunity when there are no leaves on those canes is to clean up and remove any dead canes. In other words, in most cases, they're the canes that were productive last year. And they easily pull right out of the ground. And raspberries are big feeders, so you'll also want to fertilize in the spring and then mulch the raspberries as well.
We have about a minute to go, guys. And for those that never heard the Abiders and want to participate in this great benefit.
Yeah, so we've got the West Tonka Brew. I keep saying that. The West Tonka Rotary is hosting the Tonka Brew Fest, and we are playing at it November 3rd out at Galewoods Farm in Minnetrista. You can get tickets on tonkabrewfest.org. And also be sure, if you didn't get your question answered, to visit our Extension website. And that is at extension.umn.edu, and go to Yard and Garden.
All right, before you guys leave, and John, we have a couple of texts. How to get rid of bent grass in parts of my lawn?
There's one herbicide in particular, other than a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate. The herbicide that you do want that would selectively remove creeping bent grass from Kentucky bluegrass, fine fescue, or tall fescue is called mesotrione is the active ingredient. The trade name is called Tenacity, but mesotrione is what would work for that.
And Julie, let's give the university's website.
Yeah,
please.
So it's extension.umn.edu. Go to the Yard and Garden page, and you'll find all sorts of information. The person who asked about raspberries, there's great information on fruits and vegetables, flowers, trees, shrubs, watering, lawn care, all sorts of things.
Good stuff.
Yep,
it's good to see you both again.
Yeah,
thanks so much. We'll see you down
Hope
the road.
See you at the Brewfest.
Absolutely.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.